O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire.
Amen.
I have to admit, I did not get up at 3 a.m. yesterday to watch the coverage of this royal wedding. But I did watch a recording of our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, preaching at a much more decent hour, in my opinion. In his excellent sermon, Bishop Curry reminded us of the incredible power of fire. What a phenomenal breakthrough it was in human history when we learned to harness that power. And how much of our lives today center on the ordering of that incredible power. It takes a reminder, because the truth is, most of us do not usually think about the power of fire. We're not used to thinking of it unharnessed, because we're used to encountering its power in forms that we humans have learned to control. Only occasionally do we encounter the consuming power of fire, or the uncontrollable power of other natural elements such as water and wind. And when we do, it is usually an experience that we do not forget. Yet this is incredibly different from the experience of most humans throughout history. And it's something that we must remember today as we celebrate our liturgy, the way that we tell our story as the people of God. Today we celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate this day when God's Spirit descended in fire, when tongues of fire rested on each of the disciples. Fire is the visible symbol of Pentecost for us, and it's why we wear red today. Year-round, the hat that's worn by a bishop is also a symbol of the tongues of flame to remind us of their link to those earliest disciples. For those earliest disciples, the use of violent wind and fire were powerful signs of the divine presence. Because fire and wind and water were natural forces that were a constant, incomprehensible threat. They were terrifying powers of chaos and confusion in the ancient world. They were the ever-present dangers in their lives, powers that could not be controlled and could always wreak havoc in their own life or the lives of those they loved if they were so unlucky as to come into contact with them. At Pentecost, we read of the strange phenomenon to us of tongues of fire resting on people's heads. But to the people present, it would have been an incredible sign of a great terror being turned into a sign of something good, an uncontrollable force resting on people and not burning them. The transformation of those terrifying forces into signs of power to proclaim Christ to all people is an amazing sign of hope in the power of God's Spirit that's still present among us. In both Hebrew and Greek, the word for spirit here means both breath and wind. Wind to the ancients was that invisible natural force which somehow exerts power over water and fire. From it, we learn something of the Spirit that it comes to us at Pentecost. The Spirit of God who is present in our world, who orders our world, who is more powerful than the chaos and confusion. We recall the first movement of that Spirit in the blessing of the water that we'll say in our baptismal liturgy today. We remember then how the Spirit of God moved over the waters at the beginning of creation. Those waters represented unordered chaos and confusion. Water for ancients was a place that prohibited creation, that stopped the survival of life. But the hope of our creation narrative that we read in Scripture is that God made our world in an order that is good and dynamic, that is beautiful and allows life to flourish and continue creating. For those that went before us, these were incredible signs of chaos and confusion, being brought into an order that brought hope. While it's not fire and wind and water that instill the same fear in us today, I still believe that the transformation of those things that scare us into symbols of hope is no less of a miracle possible today. Believing that God governs our world is hard to believe when chaos and confusion seem to surround us. In the face of that chaos and confusion, some find hope in the idea that God governing our world and having ultimate power means that God mechanically controls everything that happens. We hear this idea often, especially in bad situations, when people say, everything happens for a reason, or we know that this is part of God's plan. And I have to tell you, in those moments, I just can't find hope in that. And I don't find that kind of hope in Scripture. But I do find incredible hope in our passage today from Romans. In that passage, we are told that all of our created world somehow groans and struggle, and that we have been given the Spirit to join in that groaning. I think we all really know this groan deep down, the scream of hating what is happening around us, but not being able to change it. That primal cry of feeling futile against the powers around us, knowing that we can try and insulate ourselves, but can never truly escape the threat of chaos and confusion. The destructive forces of water, fire, and wind may not be as ever present for us today, but the same futility is felt throughout our world. Powers of fear and anxiety can be as debilitating and incomprehensible as fire and water were to those ancient people. As we faced yet another school shooting this week, we are terrorized by the plague of gun violence in our country that seems impossible to stop and could strike anywhere with no warning. We watch refugees around the world risk their lives to escape violence in their homes. We watch with bated breath as powers that be test nuclear weapons, weapons that could change life as we know it, and debate over whether or not they will give them up. Diseases ravage the bodies of those we love, and despite all our advances, we sometimes can't control their spread. All these things and many more give us a glimpse towards understanding the chaotic powers the ancients feared, because the struggle against them often seems so futile and can render hope impossible. So yes, I do believe we know this groan that resounds throughout our world, that inward groan as we long for a new world, a world that is different, the world for which we were created. The hope in this passage is that the Spirit we receive on Pentecost, through which we are not left alone to just wait for the day when God redeems our world and makes it all right. At Pentecost, we celebrate the arrival of that very Spirit of God who governs our world and is stronger than any chaotic force. And Romans tells us that this very Spirit joins us with sighs too deep for words, joins us in those places that we don't even have words to pray, when we can't even articulate the pain and longing for creation as it was meant to be. And the hope in this passage is that it promises that these are a special kind of groaning. These are the groans of labor pains. These are the pains of pregnancy, pains birthing something new, not pains of life ending, but of a new life beginning. These are not the pains of an end to struggle, but the creation of new and unending possibility. At Easter, we celebrated that we were set free from death and given life everlasting. And at Pentecost, we as the church are born to embody the life we have been set free to live. The Spirit was given to the church at Pentecost so that we can be a people whose very being proclaims the work God is doing in our world. It is the Spirit in us that allows us to be the ones to offer hope by pointing to realities we believe but cannot see. This Spirit that we get on Pentecost is the same Spirit that brought order to the chaos and confusion at the beginning of our world, but it is not an order that mechanically controls the world. There is nothing about this Spirit that is safe or constrained. Rather, it is a Spirit whose love is more powerful than we can imagine. As Bishop Curry preached yesterday, the power of that love is even greater than the power of fire that we have harnessed. The power of that love is transforming the world. The earliest disciples claimed that it was even transforming the very elements of the world that we live in. Today we will baptize our son, Rowan. Baptizing a baby has become such a normal, safe, sedated thing in our culture that I think we often forget what an incredible act it is. For the early church, water was the place of chaos and confusion, a place where death was always present and imminent to those who ventured out into it. And so it was water that they used to symbolize being buried with death in Christ. And so that deadly force also became the symbol that we are raised to new life with him as well. As we bless those waters of baptism, we proclaim that the Spirit of God transforms water from a force of death into a force that brings new life. Today is a holy day for the church, And it's also a holy day for us as a family as we celebrate the new life of our son with you all. And yet the celebration of this day for us is also tinged with sadness, as we learned yesterday that the bishop who welcomed us into the Episcopal Church, the man who ordained and married Jonathan and I, had a stroke Friday night and has now been placed in comfort care as he prepares to pass from this life. For me today, the intricate tangle of life and death and beauty and sadness in our world feels so palpable. And I think living with that feeling, that awareness, is what we lose when we forget the awe-inspiring, uncontrollable forces of water and fire and of the Spirit of God. When we try to control them rather than remembering their beautiful, deathly, and life-giving power all wrapped together. Gathered here celebrating the Spirit of God among us, gathered around fire and water, we remember that this life is beautiful and good and fragile and holy. And some days we have to hold all those things together. This is one of those days. The chaos and confusion are also the wildness and beauty of this God we worship. This God who orders fire and the wind and the water. This God who is extravagant and abundant. This God who is love that gathers us all in today. This incredible Spirit is the flame that flickers in the dark night of our souls, allowing us to dream when all seems futile. This is the Spirit that groans with us in creation against our struggles and conceives hope inside of us when we cannot imagine new life. And the Spirit is the one brightly burning light that illumines to us the beauty of our world. The one who takes our breath away at the awesome wonders around us, from grand mountains to baby's toenails. From the color of a sunset to the moment when we catch a glimpse of the greatness of a soul of someone we see every day. This Spirit among us gathers us in our groanings and in our celebration, promises us that no molecule of our world and ourselves is beyond redemption, and this Spirit sets us all ablaze, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, with dreams of life and words of hope for all people. May you know that Spirit today as it shares in your groaning. And today may we all see the flames of Pentecost in this wild beauty of this fragile, holy, incredible life. Amen.
Amen.